Welcome to this roundtable discussion on the use of tissue biomarkers in the management of breast cancer. This is medical oncologist Dr. Neil Love. We gathered an elite group of investigators to discuss this crucial issue, and our focus was on practical clinical implications of emerging research data on tissue assays such as ER, PR, and HER2, as well as genomic tests such as the Oncotype DX assay and MammoPrint. The faculty included Drs. Craig Allred, Tom Budd, Paul Goss, Richard Simon, Joseph Sperano, and Antonio Wolf. As in many of our roundtable discussions, the focus was twofold. First, to do a mini journal club on a number of recent journal articles and meeting presentations, and to discuss a series of personal cases of the faculty selected to tie in to the content themes. For a list of these citations and cases, please consult the enclosed print booklet or researchtopractice.com. The first paper we discussed has now become the definitive statement on HER2 testing, and Dr. Wolf was the first author. The paper, which was simultaneously published in the JCO and Archives of Pathology and Laboratory Medicine, summarized the conclusions of a blue ribbon panel put together by ASCO and the American College of Pathology to study the critical question of HER2, and this group is now looking at the issue of ER. To emphasize the critical human importance of not only HER2, but also ER, Dr. Wolf began the meeting by presenting a young woman from his practice.
This was a woman who was 45 years old. She was premenopausal, who I saw in mid-2004, a year before the adjuvant data became available. She presented with a 4-centimeter breast mass with a palpable lymph node in the axilla, and the mass in the breast turned out to be an infiltrating ductal carcinoma on the basis of a core biopsy, and immunohistochemistry markers were done for ER, PR, and HER2, and she had an ER that was 10%, PR 1%, and HER2 1+ by immunohistochemistry. To chemistry. There was an FNA done for the palpable lymph node in the axilla, but only showed normal lymphoid tissue, and it was non-diagnostic. She was, however, symptomatic at presentation. She had rib discomfort, and she had a bone scan that unfortunately showed multiple areas of uptake in the pelvis, ribs, and possibly a liver metastasis by CT scan. At that moment, it was felt that a biopsy was not technically feasible because of the location of the lesions, especially in the bones. And so she was given a clinical diagnosis of metastatic breast cancer. She was started on endocrine therapy, and she was premenopausal with ER low-positive metastatic disease. I opted to treat her with a combination of glucerolin and tamoxifen, and she had some clinical benefits. She received a course of radiation therapy to symptomatic areas in the ribcage with response. But she only had some improvement and stabilization for about 4 months, and then she started having worsening bone symptoms, and her bone skin was worse as well. And at that moment, I felt that it was time to move into systemic therapy on the basis of having HER2 negative disease on the core biopsy of the breast. I got her started on single agent capecitabine, and she had rapid improvement in pain, some improvement in bone scan and tumor markers, and it lasted for about 14 months, but nothing very impressive. Unfortunately, late...
You know, 14 months is sort of impressive.
In terms of stabilization, she was still symptomatic. She had some improvement in symptoms and then stabilization. She did not become asymptomatic. In late 2005, unfortunately, she presented with worsening pain, a diffuse progression by imaging in the spine, and actually she had a destruction in the C-spine vertebra, which required surgical intervention for stabilization. And then we had the opportunity to have metastatic tissue available for diagnostic confirmation as well as repeat markers. And pathology indeed confirmed that we were dealing with metastatic breast cancer. This time, the tumor was ER-PR negative. However, surprising, this tumor was HER2 3+ by immunohistochemistry. And so the first thing that I did was to ask our pathologist to do a FISH test as well, which was done and showed a ratio of 6.9. So clearly this was a tumor that was HER2 positive by traditional standards. So I was very curious about what was going on. So
and that initial breast tissue was done at Hopkins?
That initial breast tissue was done in a large center in the Mid-Atlantic area. And so I obtained the original core biopsy slides and had it re-reviewed. And at the re-review actually showed that this tumor was IHC 3+ by a second pathologist. So what happened was that this was a post-analytical issue, if you will. That first pathologist misread the specimen as being IHC 1+, and when in reality the original tumor was IHC 3+.
Had you reviewed the original core when you saw her in the first place?
That initial tumor had not been, there was no re-review at first. Yeah. There was only one pathology review at first.
Sometimes they won't reread the IHC if they don't have the controls.
Initially, we only had one read of the ERPR and the HER2.
Did they do the FISH on the core?
FISH was subsequently done on the core and also confirmed to be positive.
And how about the ER? Yes. Did they go back and look at the initial
no,
ER?
No, we did not go back and look at the original ER. So the original HER2 IHC by pathologist number one, which was negative, when reread later on by pathologist number two, was IHC positive, and then FISH was done and also confirmed to be positive.
So what happened then?
So with that, she had spinal stabilization. She received a course of radiation therapy, and I started her on single agent trastuzumab. And perhaps some clinical stabilization, but within 6 months, she has clinical progression and clearly a progression of disease in the liver. So I added paclitaxel, but with one dose, she had an acute hypersensitivity reaction. So I switched her to nab-paclitaxel and kept her on trastuzumab every 3 weeks. And she had a dramatic response in pain. Her tumor markers almost normalized, her hepatic metastasis disappear, and her duration of response was for about 30 months, 2.5 years.
Paul?
Why did you choose single agent Herceptin first and not with chemotherapy?
I chose single agent trastuzumab, which I've done in a lot of patients, on the basis of, at this point, no comparison studies of single-agent trastuzumab with the combination or with chemotherapy. The pivotal trials were done with the addition of trastuzumab to chemotherapy, but there had been no data on using trastuzumab alone. So in that situation, for patients who, yes, she had more advanced disease, but her key issue in the spine, her disease had been stabilized, she had received radiation, and the rest of her disease, she was for the most part asymptomatic, I thought it was worthwhile giving a short trial of single-agent trastuzumab. And a lot of patients actually do respond to single-agent trastuzumab. And if they do respond, you potentially have delayed the onset of toxicity associated with chemotherapy.